Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, when we record such podcasts as this, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
One more thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a movie quote, but that was a quote in honor of our subject today. So let me get something out of the way. I was wrong. I'm very rarely wrong, but this time I was wrong. Because back in our prediction show for 2011, I said that 2011 would come and go without the iPhone coming to Verizon. Then I went to CES, and there was mention that Verizon was going to make a big announcement the week after CES. And by the time I left CES, it was all but a certainty that that announcement would be the iPhone would come to Verizon. And lo and behold, such was the case.
Indeed, I think this is the first time that I've actually gotten one of our predictions right to the point where I might actually win a point for it in our recap.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out when December rolls around. And we'll
There's
see
a lot of time between now and then.
Whoever's holding the red pen of death.
And the amazing thing is it only took until January 12th for us to get that far.
Man, 12 days into the year before I got one totally wrong.
Yahtzee.
Oh, man.
So, yes, at the time we were recording the podcast, the Verizon iPhone has been announced officially, but has not yet been released
officially. And according to our publication schedule, this episode should come out even before you can get your hot little hands on a Verizon iPhone, but not too long before, because they're starting to allow pre-orders starting at the beginning of February, correct?
Yes, February 3rd, if you are an existing Verizon customer, which is very nice. A lot of companies actually sort of prefer to push the bonus out to the new people to get them to come on board. But in this case, Verizon is offering them the phone on February 3rd for pre-orders. And then for everyone else, February 10th.
Right.
So, but it's not going to be long. This had to have been in the works for quite some time in order for Apple to turn around that many iPhones, because a lot of people are expecting the iPhone to do very well indeed on Verizon.
Yeah. Now, if you're not familiar with the way the United States major carriers kind of fall into place...
I thought you were about to say, if you're not familiar with the iPhone... I'm sorry, what?
If you're not familiar with the iPhone...
I mean, not everyone is, but I'm assuming that most of the people on the podcast...
Are you from the past? it's my little IT crowd moment.
Yeah, the United States carriers are a little different than they are elsewhere in the world.
Right. Yeah, well, and in the United States, we have lots of different carriers, but we have four major ones, right?
Right.
And the biggest of them all, as far as the number of customers, is Verizon.
Yes.
So it goes, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm doing this from memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile.
That is correct.
Okay, good.
As of this recording.
Right. So iPhone, of course, in the United States was exclusive to AT&T for the first several years of its existence.
Yes. In fact, it was public knowledge that the agreement was private.
Right.
They had some sort of deal that spanned an unknown amount of time, and they just said, yes, it is exclusive to AT&T for, well, we're not telling you for how long, but it's exclusive.
Yeah, the number I saw more often than not was 5 years.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is, that's what I based my prediction off of, because by my reckoning, mm-hmm. it would mean that 2012 would be the first year outside of that exclusivity agreement, assuming that it was not renewed.
Right.
And clearly, whatever the length of time it was, it's over now.
Mm-hmm.
So why would – it makes sense from a customer base that that Apple would want the iPhone to get onto Verizon because Verizon's got more customers than AT&T.
But there are problems with that.
Yes, there are problems with that. What's one of what's the biggest one?
The biggest one would be the difference in technology used by the different carriers to handle voice and data.
Yes.
On AT&T and T-Mobile systems, they use GSM, which is, I guess it's fair to say, the global standard.
Right. Most places in the world use GSM. There are a few other countries besides the United States that have the other one that we're about to talk about. But most,
CDMA.
Yes, CDMA. But most use GSM.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Sprint, Nextel, and Verizon use CDMA,
right.
Which is – and the United States is by far the largest market for CDMA technology.
Yeah, and which is both a good and a bad thing, right? It means
sure.
that if you do just domestic travel, if you live in the United States and you just do domestic travel, CDMA is great technology. You've got pretty good coverage pretty much anywhere you go. If you do global travel, then that becomes a problem. You don't really have a phone capable of making calls on other networks because the technology is not compatible. That's the really important thing is CDMA and GSM, they don't work with each other.
Right.
But you could get there are phones out there that have chips for both.
Right. Some of the CDMA phones have a SIM card slot because, number is essentially baked into the hardware for CDMA phones. Whereas if you have a GSM phone and you've actually taken it apart a little bit, you know, maybe just taking the battery out to see the SIM card or watch them put it in at the store, you know that basically your number and your phone book in some cases and some other information is stored on that card. And you can take your SIM card out of your phone if you have a GSM phone, put it in another phone, and there you're ready to go.
Yeah.
But not so much with a CDMA phone. And people who have Verizon, for example, and go to a country where there is GSM, if they have one of the dual mode phones, I'm not sure exactly how you would refer to that, but there's a slot where you can insert a GSM card and you can, you know, get a SIM card and snap it in place and use your phone.
Right.
Of course, I'm sure that means that you're using a different phone number, but at least you can use your phone.
So the news about the iPhone coming to Verizon was both surprising and not surprising. It was not surprising because, of course, like I said, you know, the Verizon has a lot of customers. And,
yeah.
of course, if you make a product, you want to hit as many customers as you possibly can. It was surprising in the sense that it meant that that Apple had to re-engineer some of its phone in order for there to be a CDMA version, right?
That's right.
Couldn't just plop out the other, you know, the GSM-based one with a couple of changes. It actually takes quite a bit. And there's some differences between the Verizon version and the AT&T version that are carrier-based, not necessarily hardware-based.
That's true. You can see evidence of the difference when you actually look at the phone. There is a visible difference. If you look at the antennas, which is famously now after AntennaGate, the band around the outside of the iPhone 4, you can see that the antennas of a Verizon iPhone and an AT&T iPhone are joined differently in different places.
Right.
And so in fact, one of the buttons is moved a little bit. So if you get a bumper for an AT&T phone, it's not going to fit your Verizon iPhone.
Yeah, I've seen that AT&T is starting to carry, I don't know if they're carrying it, but there are third-party bumper cases out there that are designed to be universal.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
The openings are a little larger so that it can accommodate a button, whether it's been moved over a little bit or not.
Yeah, it's the ringer mute switch if you're keeping score at home.
It also means that because there are the antennas aligned a different way on the Verizon phone, that there's a totally new way that you can hold it wrong. Actually, I don't know that for a fact. I have not used a Verizon iPhone.
The CNET report that I read said that they had tried it out and they could not find a grip of death. As is known, if you're unfamiliar with this, we should actually, I guess, mention this.
Sure.
AT&T's iPhone, or the iPhone that was used with AT&T, when the iPhone 4 first came out, it was criticized because if you touch certain parts, the antenna, there are actually different pieces to the antenna that go around the outside, the stainless steel band that you see there around the outside. And if you touch it in a certain way, you create a short circuit that drops calls.
Yeah.
You know, the problem exists more for some people than others. Some say that it has to do with the electrolytes in your sweaty hands.
Some people say whether or not you're left-handed because you'd be holding the phone in your left hand, and that would mean that you would be more likely to make that connection.
Yeah. The problem is solved pretty easily if you put a rubber bumper around the outside of it.
Right.
But of course, people have a pretty high standard for Apple's iPhone, and the idea that it wasn't perfect made some people laugh with glee and other people,
stamp their feet and scream.
Yeah.
And we should also add that this was a problem that was new to the iPhone 4.
That's right.
Because the previous iPhone versions did not have the antenna exposed like that.
Yeah.
So the iPhone on Verizon, we have not played with it yet.
Nope.
I have seen some reviews. I saw that Consumer Reports was actually cautioning people against buying it. And mm-hmm. I've seen the same sentiment echoed throughout the blogosphere, and various tech journalists have said the same thing. And essentially what their point is not that the iPhone and Verizon is a bad product.
Right.
Or that Verizon offers a poor service.
Mm-hmm.
But rather that if Apple is following its normal MO, then we should see an update to the iPhone this summer.
Right.
It tends to be in June that we see these announcements.
Right.
And that it may not be immediately available when the announcement's made, but shortly thereafter it tends to be available. So if there's an iPhone 5 on the way, or some sort of update to the iPhone 4, kind of like the way the iPhone 3GS was an update to the iPhone 3G,
mm-hmm.
Then it makes sense to wait instead of purchasing an iPhone 4 now, and then a few months later you're faced with the fact that, your device is already not obsolete, but outdated.
Right, right.
So buyer beware, I guess. I mean, it really depends on what you've been used to, right? I mean, there are plenty of people out there who are still using dumb phones or feature phones. I'm looking at one, I think.
Yes.
So, there are plenty of people out there who have phones that they don't fall into the smartphone bracket. And they've been waiting for something like the iPhone. They aren't necessarily enamored of the other operating systems that are available out there, whether it's Android or Windows Phone 7 or BlackBerry's, the RIM operating system.
Or Palm's Web OS.
Or Palm's Web OS. Well, where are you going to buy one of those?
Verizon? Well, they used to have them.
Yeah.
So there are very few differences actually in the iPhone 4 that you would actually notice. I mean, the price point is the same, $199 for the 16 gigabyte version, $299 for the 32.
Don't really know what the data plan's going to be yet.
That's true, and it doesn't, as you said, have a SIM card slot, so you will not be able to use it on a GSM network.
Also, go ahead.
But it does have data. You're right, and. Verizon still has unlimited data plans, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. We don't know if that's going to
dropped.
Yeah, we don't know if that's going to stay the same once the iPhone goes live. We also don't know. Apparently, right now, anyway, as soon as the iPhone hits the store shelves, it will not be capable of doing simultaneous data and voice, which means you can't have a phone call while you are surfing the web at the same time. But supposedly an update will follow, possibly in the spring.
Okay. What I had read, now I don't know if this is true or not. What I read was that was a problem with CDMA more than it was with the iPhone's ability to do that.
No, I think it is a carrier. I think it's a carrier issue, not a hardware issue, which is why Verizon said they were working on it and they expected to fix that by spring.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious when I read that and wrote that down. I went, really? Is that okay?
It's one of those things where, I mean, you see these problems pop up in devices occasionally, and sometimes you're left scratching your head about it. And mm-hmm. really, it just means that there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to.
Yes.
And that's why. I mean, it probably makes perfect sense from their perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is another capability that the Verizon iPhone has as you said, is not necessarily tied to hardware, and that's its ability to function as a hotspot for Wi-Fi.
Yeah, actually, the AT&T one could do that, but that feature is not enabled in the United States by AT&T.
Is carrier specific.
Yeah, so by that we mean that you could create a little hotspot with your phone and connect up to, I think it's 5 other devices to it.
Yes, that's what I have.
So your phone would be connected to the 3G network, because that's another thing we should point out, is the Verizon iPhone does not work on their LTE network.
Yes, and that's true of the AT&T iPhone 4 as well. They're both 3G network phones.
Right.
So that also would sort of lead one to believe, especially with the push for 4G right now, that it might be a good time to
just wait a couple of months,
do anything, and see how that plays out. Because I don't know if either of these phones will be upgradable. I kind of doubt it.
Right. Yeah. Because usually you need another chip in order. Because LTE, yes. At least LTE anyway, is it a different technology?
Yes, it is.
If you're looking at the HSPA Plus, the old technology that gets 4G speeds, that's the technology that T-Mobile refers to as 4G on their phones, because you're getting 4G speeds, even though it's not technically a 4G technology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would assume you'd even have to have special equipment for that. I know that my phone's capable of doing that, and I love it. But, getting back to the hotspot, the idea here is that your phone is connecting to data through the 3G network and then creates a Wi-Fi hotspot that other devices can connect to. So if you happen to have another device there that does not have 3G capability or doesn't have any, it's just Wi-Fi only, you could connect it to your phone via the Wi-Fi and then get data that way.
Yep. Now, there's something else that I thought about, and I was thinking about this. It was, going over the idea in my head and going, okay, well, other than a few differences in the technology required, the iPhone 4 is not all that different from the one that's on AT&T's network. But I do think this is kind of an interesting move because, by and large, phones, at least in the United States, phones are specific to carrier. And now we're taking the almost exactly the same phone and moving it to multiple carriers. And I wonder if that's going to open doors for other manufacturers, such as Motorola, for example. Could you have the Droid move to Sprint, so you have it on Sprint and Verizon? Or, LG's or HTC's phones, will the same model be available other than, CDMA or GSM? Or actually, most of the carriers are going with LTE for 4G, so it seems like it would just be that much more portable. Do you think this is going to open the door to give the manufacturers more control over which carriers they can shop their phones to?
Well, we've seen some of that before. Like Nokia has phones that are appearing on multiple carriers, but in those cases, they tend to not be supported by the carriers in a subsidized way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause in the United States, one of the other big things that's different from a lot of the other countries in the world is that most of the phones that we purchase tend to be subsidized by the carrier, and you agree to enter into a contract, usually 2 years, although you can get 1 year contracts as well, with that carrier. And as part of that agreement, you get that was part of the purchase price is knocked off of the device, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a significant portion of the cost.
If you were buying an iPhone outright, it'd be around $600, I think.
Something like that, yeah. $500, $600 in there.
Yeah. So when you enter into this contract, they knock off some of that purchase price. Now, if you were to actually examine the contract, you'd realize that through the various fees that you're paying, over the course of the lifetime of the device, you're going to pay more than you would on that upfront purchase price, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to do because it's spread out over time. It's not all at once. You know, if I see a phone in front of me and it says it's $500 or $600, I balk at that price. And I know that there are people around the world who that's their reality. They go out and they buy a smartphone. That's how much it's going to cost. And then,
right.
But they're not tied to a specific contract.
Right.
So, I think if we do see more devices appearing on other carriers, there's at least the potential that it moves to a more, to the same model that most other countries are following, which is that, yeah, it's not tied to a specific carrier, but you're going to have to pay for that. You know, you're going to have to pay the full price for that model as opposed to a subsidized price.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we saw evidence of that with Google's Nexus One phone, which was made by HTC. And they initially were planning on offering it unlocked. So it was a GSM phone that you could use with AT&T or T-Mobile. And, I mean, you could actually have it subsidized by T-Mobile, or you could buy the unlocked version. And there was something like, $400 difference in the price between a T-Mobile two-year contract and getting it that way. Of course, they never really came out with they kind of ended the Nexus One program before it moved to other carriers. They had been planning a Verizon phone, which never actually made it to the carrier. But yeah, I mean that, you know, if you were watching that whole thing, you would have seen firsthand the difference that the subsidy makes. But I have started seeing rumors that there will be an iPhone headed for Sprint. And of course, the rumors have been back and forth with T-Mobile simply because T-Mobile, if I'm not mistaken, is currently the largest wireless provider in the world, although the fourth largest in the United States. T-Mobile has the rights to the iPhone in Europe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there have been pictures of packaging with iPhone. I've actually seen people on blogs post photos of iPhone accessories in the T-Mobile livery. And I'm going, yeah, well, they would actually have a reason to have those accessories packaged in their colors because they sell the iPhone, just not here in the United States.
Right.
So
international travelers would definitely want that.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, we're seeing, I've been seeing the rumors for Sprint now that the Verizon announcement has come down. So I wonder if there's an exclusivity agreement at all, or a semi-exclusive agreement between those two carriers, or if Apple's going to say, you know what, we want as many people as we can get no matter what. We've got the iPhone. It's desirable.
I'm pretty certain that during their press conference where Verizon unveiled the fact that they were having the iPhone, to no surprise at that point.
Yes.
Because everyone was essentially saying, today's the day Verizon's going to talk about the iPhone.
Yep.
I mean, that was all over the news.
Yes.
But when they announced it, they said there is no exclusivity agreement.
Right.
So that means there's at least the potential that the iPhone could move to the other carriers as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the other carriers would love to see that. It would even the playing field across all carriers. I read somewhere, and this is, take this with a grain of salt. I cannot verify it. But I read somewhere that essentially during a press call, a T-Mobile representative essentially said that the company had lost around 10% of its customer base to AT&T because of the iPhone.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think, well, now Verizon's got the iPhone too. If you've got people who were holding off on changing carriers because they had heard, perhaps they had heard that AT&T's was not being reliable as far as being able to hold a call.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for people who are living in San Francisco or New York, where we heard that all the time, especially from tech journalists. They were saying, I love my iPhone, except I can't, you know, it keeps dropping calls on me.
Right.
Or I don't get my messages. You know, I'll leave the building, and then 5 minutes later, I suddenly get a notification that I missed, like, 12 calls during the day.
Mm-hmm.
they may very well be tempted to go to Verizon if they think that Verizon's going to provide a more consistent service.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what Apple does, whether or not, you know, it tries to expand even further. What I'm wondering is, how is the iPhone moving to Verizon really going to affect the whole smartphone landscape in the United States? Leading up to this announcement, Android was actually gaining, and not just gaining ground, but outperforming Apple in the market.
Right.
Now, you could argue, and legitimately argue, that part of that is because Android's on a whole bunch of different phones on all the different carriers.
Right.
You know, it's not like the iPhone is one line of products. You have several generations of it, but it's one line of products. Whereas Android is an operating system that you can find on handsets manufactured from multiple vendors
mm-hmm.
and on multiple carriers. So there's no surprise that it would be doing well, especially for, you know, for the carriers that did not have the iPhone.
Right.
People who were customers of a carrier, they wanted a smartphone. They were not willing to switch carriers, or maybe not able to. A lot of them went with the Android. So do you think that the iPhone going to Verizon is going to shake that up? Do you think that Apple's going to regain market dominance in smartphones, or at least leadership in that market?
Well, I think that it's certainly going to put Apple and Google at a more competitive stance with one another.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you know, to Google's advantage, not because I think Apple will steamroll Google, but Google had a decided advantage in being on multiple carriers at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is going to open the door for Apple to regain or gain customers moving from dumb phones or from older phones who are upgrading. It will give them an opportunity on a much bigger carrier to do that. But it's this is sort of double-edged. This is good for Apple because now they've got access to all these customers. If they can open the doors to Sprint and T-Mobile, they'll have the big four. And that's good for them. But as some tech journalists have pointed out, this is also going to really enable people to see the how good the iPhone really is in comparison to its Google counterparts, because a lot of the problems that have been experienced over the years with, say, dropped calls and data speeds have been by some people attributed to AT&T's network.
Right, not now, to the device.
Not to the device itself. Now that you have essentially the exact same device, mostly, on a different network, you're going to see people evaluating these two against one another. It's not going to be Android versus iOS anymore. It's going to be Verizon versus AT&T's network, and you're going to see pretty much laid bare whether Apple's iPhone is really being held back by AT&T's network. And AT&T may get the opportunity to point their fingers and say, "Ha, we told you so."
See?
Or they may go,
"See?
Yeah, we've been meaning to look at that."
Yeah.
So part of it may be alleviated by iPhone fans moving from AT&T to Verizon and unburdening the network at AT&T too. So there's that. It's not completely scientific, but you're going to see that. And Apple actually has a different advantage too. The one big complaint that anti-Apple people have that I've heard about the iPhone is, you know, hey, it's a closed shop. You have the App Store, and that's where you buy the apps. You don't have choice there. You don't have the choice of manufacturers. Well, that's true, but that's one of the big complaints people have about Android is it's a different experience on different handsets and on different carriers.
Right.
Like
the fact that the latest build of Android can be found on very few phones, and then mm-hmm. a larger group of phones have the build behind that, and then some more have the build behind that, and then you start getting, it's kind of diamond shape, right? At the very top, you've got some phones that have the latest build of Android.
Yes.
And at the very bottom, you have some phones that are stuck with the oldest or really old builds of Android, like 1.6. And then in the middle, you've got all the Android phones that are running either a version or two versions behind. And that means that the experience across Android phones is not consistent.
Yep. And it's true, too, that if you look at least at my phone carrier, look at the phones, the Android phones that are available, you can buy different Android phones. You'll see versions of the operating system are different on different phones.
Yeah.
And if you start doing a little research, you'll find that there are no plans to upgrade such and such a phone at all.
Yeah, in some
so you
cases,
may be behind and not there's no chance that you're going to move up.
Yeah.
So you may be paying $49 for a cool Android phone, but there's a cooler Android phone for $200 more than that that will get an upgrade that your phone will never get.
Right.
And I don't know that people understand that necessarily. Some, sure, lots of them do, but you know, if you don't do a little research, you may find that you're stuck in an older version of the operating system. And of course, that's true for the iPhone as well. I mean, I'm sure if I don't say this, people will write in and tell us this. Yes, of course, if you have an iPhone from a couple generations ago, there's not a chance that you're going to get upgraded to
the latest iOS.
You know, yeah. And yeah, they abandon people too, but the experience may differ. If you buy the latest iPhone from a carrier, you're likely to get the newest experience, the most recent operating system. You're probably good for a couple upgrades.
Yeah, at least until the next version of the iPhone comes out. And then probably still for another couple of updates until it – what really we get to is that the operating system tends to outstrip the capabilities of the hardware.
Yeah, and that's true.
And so it's not necessarily that the carriers or the operating system designers – are being malicious.
No, not
sometimes
at all.
Sometimes it's just the fact that your device can't handle the next level of the operating system. Now, in some cases, it's I don't know what the reasoning is.
Well, they of course they want to outdo the competition. We talk about competition all the time and how this is great that we have Android and the new Windows Phone software and BlackBerry's. Been doing some serious upgrades and has their application store. So these are all working against one another, and they're forcing each other to innovate.
Yes.
And that's cool, but as they innovate the operating system on each of their services, eventually your hardware is going to get left behind because to run these fancy new applications, well, you're going to have to upgrade your hardware.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't work to the detriment of the carrier or the phone manufacturer, except for network capacity.
Yeah, that might actually be another play into another reason why some carriers don't allow certain OS upgrades to hit certain Android phones, mm-hmm. because it lets them market newer phones over the older phones. Like if you keep allowing these updates to hit the older Android phones, assuming that the older Android phones are capable of running the OS, mm-hmm. Then you give that person less reason to upgrade their phone, right? Because
right.
their old phone can keep up with the newer phones. So there's always this conspiracy theory element where you're thinking maybe the carrier is withholding Android updates so that it can market the newest Android phones and sell those and then just keep you on a continual cycle of upgrading your phone every X number of months.
In a related note, the Verizon New Every 2 program is going away. They announced that right about the time. I don't think it was on the same day, but it was right about the time. I saw it. It was one of those headlines that was a very small headline at the bottom of the page. But they used to have this deal where after 2 years, you would get, a $100 subsidy or something in addition to whatever the discount was for renewing your contract.
Huh.
And they're doing away with that. And I don't know if it's necessarily iPhone 4 related. But I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't factor into the decision to end the program.
Hmm.
In fact, I think the article I read said, they've probably been considering this for quite some time, but this certainly isn't going to encourage them to continue.
It was a definite kick in the pants.
Yes, because Verizon will sell a lot of iPhones.
Yeah. We've been going on for about a little over half an hour.
Yeah, we should probably.
So wrap this up a bit. Yeah. But because in order to save some face after my disastrously embarrassing prediction went so wrong less than 2 weeks into the new year, allow me to make a new prediction, which is that at least in the short term, with the iPhone coming to Verizon, Apple will regain leadership in the smartphone market in the United States.
Yeah, see, I'm not willing to say that.
I'm willing to say it.
Okay.
I'm willing to say that enough people are going to either move to the iPhone from a dumb phone or switch from their whatever smartphone they're using on, especially Verizon customers. Verizon customers who have always wanted to have an iPhone, but then they felt like they settled for a different smartphone. Now, when I say that, that's not my own personal opinion. I'm an Android owner. and I love my Android phone.
Yeah.
But
and most of my friends who have Android love it. So.
But for some people got an Android phone not because they really wanted an Android phone. They wanted a smartphone, and they could not get the iPhone, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So those people are going to switch. The people with the dumb phones who've always wanted a smartphone, now they're going to be like, oh, awesome, I can have an iPhone now. They're going to switch. You're going to have new customers switching as well. Now, some of them are going to be AT&T to Verizon. So in reality, you're not going to have any gain there. It's just going to be a lateral move.
Right.
But I think that Android's leadership was not overwhelming. Like they were not by far outstripping Apple in the smartphone market. So I think Apple's going to regain leadership in that space, and maybe for a year.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a year before we see how that pans out for the long term. It may be that they regain leadership and they never let go, mm-hmm. but we'll have to see. But that's my new prediction.
Okay.
All right. If any of you guys have predictions about the Verizon iPhone, like, I predict I will go and buy one, you can let us know. You can let us know on Twitter or Facebook. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW, or you can shoot us an email. That email address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com, and Chris and I will talk to you again, maybe even on an iPhone, really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.